All right, and joining us now is Tony Arterburn of Wise Wolf Gold and Silver, and Tony has set up davidknight.gold to take you there and let him know that you're coming through me. We've had Tony as a friend and a contributor and a supporter for a very, very long time. It's always a pleasure to have Tony on. Thanks for joining us, Tony.
Thanks for having me back, David. Always good to see you.
Well, it's been kind of interesting, isn't it? Everybody knew this was going to happen. It's no surprise, election year, where they've got the rationale for it or not, they don't care. They will create a rationale. And so now they started talking about doing some Fed interest rate cuts, and it's having the anticipated effect, isn't it?
Well, they're counting on the memory of the American people being very short, as it usually is. Gorbachev said we were the United States of amnesia. I go back to, you know, what, 2 years ago, they were talking about, oh, this inflation is transitory.
Yeah.
I used the word transitory, and now they've gone so far as to say we're at the terminal rate. I like that phraseology a lot better, but they didn't move interest rates, but they're hinting, and they are going to, you and I both know this, they're going to lower interest rates. It looks like somewhere around three times this year. Mm-hmm. But if you look a little further down the road, you know, in 2025, they're going to have to raise interest rates again, okay, because inflation is going to go completely out of control. The headlines across everything that I look at, you know, when I monitor precious metals, is that gold hit its all-time high, which I think is something that's inevitable. It's not even surprising anymore. But what it should have said is that the dollar hit its all-time low. I think we need to start looking at it that way. The dollar is continuing to hit another all-time low, and commodities and precious metals, the prices are being reset globally. That's the big story here. That's the takeaway. But I think we're watching these interest rates. It's a sideshow, David. I mean, the interest rates are going to get lowered. We're going to have a fake economy going into a fake election with fake politicians, just like we always do. Except the consequences, I think, with the dollar losing the world's reserve currency status, I think these are the much more dire consequences than we've had in the past.
I guess it's kind of like, you know, the old thing is the glass half empty or half full. I guess it depends on whether you're measuring the water or the air. You know, the dollar would be equivalent to measuring the air. Gold would be equivalent to the water, you know, the actual stuff.
That's right. It's like the Matrix with the little boy and the spoon bender. So what you have to remember is there is no spoon. It's kind of like there is no currency here. It's your imagination.
Oh, man, I tell you. And so, you know, just that, just the rumor of, well, we're going to have an interest rate cut maybe coming up this summer, maybe 3 months from now, maybe in June or whatever. So just the rumor of that sent the stock market up, sent gold up, sent crypto up. And what it did was, it, as you point out, it sent the dollar down more so than thinking of, well, sent everything went up except for the dollar. But what it did was when they said, well, we're going to devalue the dollar by doing this, and we all knew they were going to do it for the election. They're demanding that this be done. We've got Elizabeth Warren as well as Bernie Sanders, those two economic experts, sending a demand letter with 19 Democrats from Congress telling you better lower the interest rates. They give every reason they can think of, and none of them valid, except for the fact that it's an election year. That's the key thing, isn't it?
Well, I liked your analysis this morning at the beginning of the show. You're talking about just writing unlimited checks.
Yeah,
they don't. There's no fiscal responsibility left. That's not even in the. That's not in any of the vernacular coming out of Washington, D.C. or the political parties. I'm not talking about that at all. It used to be a big issue.
That's right.
And if you notice, that's the dog that doesn't bark. Nobody talks about it anymore. And so I think we're watching this death of a currency, you know, the looting of the treasury. You know, all bets are off. That's what we're watching. And, you know, you're exactly right. The only thing that reins in this out of control federal government, the out of control, the Wall Street criminals, the only thing that reins them in is the loss of the world's reserve currency status of the dollar, this money velocity where you can just go and continue to print without consequence. But the consequences are real. They affect real people in real time. And I think, you know, again, fake money, real consequences, and that's what we're watching play out, Dave.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why you've got Russia and China moving with BRICS and everything, because I understand that's our superpower. Our superpower is to be able to create money out of thin air. That's what real American exceptionalism is about. We've got a couple of questions here on Rockfin. Gordon Shumway says gold is going to go to 3,000, silver to 90. When is the bubble going to burst?
Well, go back to 2020. That's a good question. For gold bugs and silver bugs like me, I've been paying attention to this for years and years. And, again, it's something that cannot go on forever will stop. That's Herbert Stein's law. And never underestimate how willing the powers that be are to devalue currency and to create new currency supply. We have $1 trillion new dollars in debt every 90 days now. It took us from 1776 to 1980 to go $1 trillion in debt for the United States of America. Now it's every 90 days. So everything is accelerating. To make a call on when silver is going to break its all-time high, again, $52.50 in 1980 for silver. It did it close to that again in 2011. Gold came close to 2,000 or broke 2,000 in 2011. And then again, Ben Bernanke came along and said, oh, well, it calmed everybody down and said, we won't do the TARP funds again and the bailouts and the too big to fail. Don't worry about that. We're going to have a lot more fiscal responsibility and all that. It's going to tone everything down. And mm-hmm. precious metals fell.
Yeah.
And they fell for a while. And then again, 2020. Gold breaks its all-time high. I was hosting your show down in Austin when it did on August 6th, 2020. Mm-hmm. But again, the ride from there has been strange because of all of this intervention, and that it's a very powerful entity. And you've had, I've had Stuart Englert on, who wrote the book Rigged about the gold and silver markets, about how the bullion banks, the giant ones, work with the central bank, because in the West, fiat currency, not just the dollar, but fiat currency is at war with gold. So they have a vested interest in the price not going up. Just like I said earlier, it's the gold's not at its all-time high. The dollar's at its all-time low. It's an inversion of how you should look at it. And so I don't know when these things are going to kick off, but I do know Citibank, going back to 2020, I have a memory. I go back, I remember all these projections. Even like major banks were saying $3,000 gold easy within the next year. That was 2020. That didn't happen. So I think we have a lot of delayed reactions. The best thing you can do right now is, because supply is not as strong as you may think. And this is take it from somebody who's trying to source and supply. I've got close to 800 members right now for Wolfpack. So that's automatic. Every month we have 800 people that are doing the bulk buy-ins together. So I have to project 2 or 3 weeks out. Mm-hmm. It's not as strong as you may think. And one or two whales in the silver market, there'd be almost no supply.
Wow.
And that's how close we are. No. To a revaluation here. So I would just, if you're accumulating, you're stacking, keep doing that. Mm-hmm. If you can keep from selling, keep from selling. If you don't have to sell, don't sell. Of course, if you're going to sell to me, I need supply. But if you don't have to sell, don't sell. Because I think these prices are going to change. And again, is it going to go up? Well, I know that it's going to go up technically, and this isn't investment advice, because the dollar is going to go down.
Yeah, especially if you look at just the reaction, the rumor, gets everything, crypto, stock market, gold and everything, when they actually start to do it. And I know they say, look at the buy it on the rumor and sell it on when it actually happens. But it's going to happen multiple times. And I think, as you point out, it's going to be probably three times. That's what the rumors are now. It'll happen more than once. And so they'll still be going up with that. We got another question.
It wouldn't surprise me either, David, if gold fell way below 2000. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is because if you look at history, look at what happened in the first quarter of 2020, when you had the highest stock market since 1929 and the lowest, it mm-hmm. was in the same week, this huge dip. And gold went to like $1,100 an ounce or something like that. No one could find it for that. But say it's same thing. Silver went to some crazy number like $13 an ounce or $12 an ounce. I just looked up, and when you and I did my first interview with you, gold was at $1,425 an ounce. I looked that up this morning. That's how we're far away from that.
Yeah.
But again, can it come back down in short periods? Sure, it can, because it can follow the markets. And you got to understand how much paper gold there is.
That's right.
Like, to understand that, because you and I don't think like we don't think like we're embezzlers, but there's a huge amount of that where it's just not real. And so that follows the market. There's a lot of those trades that go on. But it's interesting, something happening at the same time. Gold is hitting another all-time high, or the dollar's all-time low. But this huge phenomenon with Bitcoin, And there was billions and billions being taken out of the gold that are flowing out of gold ETFs, at least hundreds of millions. And it's going into the Bitcoin ETFs. And supposedly that all these analysts were saying that the gold price was going to go down. It's not going down because the central bank, it's too big. You're talking about a massive shift away from a currency. And I don't think these analysts, I don't think they fully appreciate the historical gravity of what's happened.
Yeah. And that's the thing that makes me really antsy about all that is the ETFs, you know, because of what I know about paper gold and paper silver and how they can use that to manipulate things, because of what I saw with the real estate derivatives and all the rest of the stuff. When they start creating these ETF things, you know, it just, to me, it looks like NFTs. So it's like, is this thing for real, or are they just using this as a tool to manipulate? And that's another question we've got here. This is from Michelle Obama. Thank you for the tip. Can you ask Tony about BlackRock's tokenization of all assets? And of course, they've just given an Ethereum-backed digital liquidity fund $100 million. Again, you know, even you know, along with BlackRock and creating these digital assets and tokenization stuff. You've got Ethereum, which there's a lot of talk and it has been talk for a while that maybe, you know, when they introduce CBDC, they might do it. If they do it really quickly, they could piggyback it on top of Ethereum. That really seems to be the inside track. Everybody in the public likes Bitcoin, but the system seems to be shifting people towards Ethereum. I don't know enough about the crypto, but what do you think, Tony? What's going on with BlackRock?
Yeah, I read that yesterday. It's very troublesome. And I've been asking this same question since the launch of these ETFs. And you got Larry Fink from BlackRock praising Bitcoin, talking about digital gold and stores of value. And I just start looking around and say, is anybody else noticing this? You have this, the bankster, at least the face of one that you can see, talking about how there's validity in cryptocurrency. Now, I guess color me skeptical. I don't believe these people. I don't think that their intent, because you know, Larry Fink has also said about changing behavior of people using ESG to do that. And of course, they're also major buyers of residential real estate in the United States. You got to ask yourself why that is as well, to change behavior, right? Yeah. This is what banksters do. You go back to the funding of the Bolshevik Revolution or the revolution in China and with Mao in 1949 is backed by the world's richest people. So I'm skeptical. I don't like it when, again, something was the crypto market didn't need your intervention. As a matter of fact, the whole purpose of crypto was to move away from a dying system that's corrupt and that is not free market. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a lot of problems with the crypto market, with the meme coins and everything else. And I agree with you with Ethereum. The thing that Bitcoin's different because Bitcoin has no company. Nobody knows who Satoshi Nakamoto was, or if it's a person or a group of people, nobody really knows. And it's an open question. But it has no centralized company, no country, where all these other, every other crypto, like it or not, traces back to someone. Mm-hmm. Because it's open source, you know, there's an initial coin offering, you know who it is. So Bitcoin is different in that way. And again, you can still be skeptical, but there's something with that. I they're not going to run the CBDC off the back of Bitcoin.
Yeah,
I don't see that happening, but it would be one of these other coins. And, you know, I remember, you know, Ethereum, it was trading, it's 10 times what it was when I started trading it. You know, when I used to sometimes offer Ethereum. I've pretty much gone down to just Bitcoin for right now, just trying to see what happens in this market if I do any kind of trades through the shop. But yeah, you'd be very skeptical of that. I whenever BlackRock or Vanguard or any of these majors are touching cryptocurrency and trying to drag it into the old system, I think it's a red flag. And I know, you know, even Max Keiser, you know, he's talking about how the people that buy the ETFs are going to lose out. Mm-hmm. You know, you should, if you're going to own Bitcoin, go get it yourself.
Yeah.
If it's not, you know, your keys are important. You know, it's just like physical gold. You know, if you're going to buy gold ETFs, all you're buying really is a stake in a spot price. You're not really actually buying gold. Mm-hmm. You should always think about the counterparty risk to anything, whether it's crypto or gold.
That's right. And whenever you see these, again, these derivatives or the ETFs or the involvement of companies like BlackRock and JP Morgan, who are always poo-pooing, you know, cryptocurrencies. When you see that happening, you know, it's kind of like the old thing. They got to get behind you before they can stab you in the back. When these big companies start to buy into something, it's like, oh, good. Now they're an investor like me. No, they're getting into it so that they can manipulate this thing. Because if they can manipulate it and crash it, they've still got lots more money they can put in and ride this thing up. That's the whole point. They don't want things going horizontal. They want a roller coaster ride, right? Dip and then straight up with a rise and all the rest of the stuff. And so to me, that's a big warning when you've got big institutions coming in and you got derivative instruments that they're inventing and all this other and creating for the first time. Well, that's a real scary thing. We got another question for you. This is off of Rumble. Atomic Dog says, David, in 4 years, almost to the day, gold is now up 33.2%, 25% last 14% the last 2 years. I would accept that as real inflation that we have seen over the last 4 years. Would Tony agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's more into watch commodities, mm-hmm. even though they're manipulated. And I think that's probably just the tip of the iceberg. If you really follow the amount of currency creation, the actual expansion of the money supply, the inflation's much worse. Mm-hmm. And you find it in food and other things, because a lot of these other products that we talked about this before, they're saying, oh, well, there's prices are stabilizing or they've gone down. That's because there's no demand. You're talking about luxury items or electronics and things that people can do without, or they can use an older model. But the real inflation is in the grocery store.
Yes.
That's where you go find the real cost of what they've done in the last 5 years.
That's right. Yeah. And when you look at it again, you know, whenever you look at a trend line with something, you're going to see the stuff jumping all around it, and then they draw the line through it because there's a lot of noise that's there. And that's this kind of day-to-day variation or month-to-month variation. But over a period of time, you can see that. And you and I have talked about this for the longest time, how over a century or longer, you can see that, you know, the value of gold stays there along with the value of other things that you buy with a custom suit or travel or things like that. Some of those have been helped by efficiencies of manufacturing or other things like that. But for the most part, it stays there. Not so with these fiat currencies. So that's a key thing. You know, one of the things that we're seeing also is the fact that Liz Warren and others, always Liz Warren, she's always presenting herself as a champion of the little guy when she's really for big government and big banks. Now they're talking about a wealth tax. I don't know if you saw this or not, but it'll only apply to the ultra rich. So you and I don't have to worry about this, right, Tony?
Right, right.
But it, just like the income tax, you know, that only applied to the ultra, ultra rich. And it was a very small tax initially for the ultra, ultra rich. But we know what happened to that. Now they're pushing this out there to confiscate money. And the other part of it is they know that's going to drive people out of the country. So then they have to, on the back end of it, put a big penalty for anybody that leaves the country. This is another sign of desperation and the fact that they're never going to leave people alone, isn't it?
Well, it's, yeah, again, go back to 1913. You go back to the 16th Amendment. This was brought to you by the world's richest people. They indemnified themselves. They built their foundations. And then they said, oh, no. This is just for the ultra rich. Mm-hmm. It's just for the top. Well, it wasn't. It's supposed to trickle down and it's supposed to affect all of their competition. And it's just Elizabeth Warren is a stooge for international banking. That's what she is. I mean, that she's not. Where's the grassroots enthusiasm for Elizabeth Warren? I remember when this was back in the, 2019 at the primary and she was running, and I was having my radio show one day and I said, I think she's got the it factor though, you know, like the clown it, like in the sewer. I think she's definitely got the it factors. That's when she had the commercial. She's like, I'm going to go get a beer out of the refrigerator. And you're thinking, is this animatronics? Did she escape from Chuck E. Cheese? There's something wrong with her. And she's always, you know, portraying herself as, well, other than being, you know, Pocahontas and all the rest of that, she's portraying herself as the little guy. You know, I'm for the little guy. I'm sticking up for the working class and the teachers and all that.
And you look at how adamant she is about, I mean, boy, she has a true hatred of crypto and you know, pushing all this other stuff. You know that she's there for the big banks. You know, she's aligned with them and her interest precisely, and yet continuing to tell people, oh, I'm there for the little guys. That the consumer, and I always get the word order out, but this Consumer Financial Protection Board that she created, what they did was that drove a lot of small and medium-sized banks out of business. It didn't protect any consumers at all. It just drove small and medium-sized banks out of business that were the competitors of her bosses.
Always the goal.
Yeah.
She is a mouthpiece for international banking and multinational corporations, period. That's all she is. And all these, this is like, they're speaking through her. You know, those who oppose the free market of crypto, it always, it's the Hegelian dialectic too, David. You know, it's like, oh, well, we need to regulate these. Well, what we need to do is we create an ETF and we'll let BlackRock regulate it. We'll let the, you know, the majors and the banks will regulate crypto. We'll go through them. So that it's a poison pill, you know, any kind, that's the way they do it. Well, it's either going to outlaw it or we'll make it go through this system. And that's, again, it's so transparent if you're looking at history to know that these people actually are. And I wonder how that's the staffer that she had that came out and was all for the Bitcoin ETFs. That used to, I don't know if you remember that. Somebody got in and hacked or a staffer maybe on their way out. I hope they're okay. I don't know where I should send flowers somewhere. Whatever happened to that staffer, but somebody came out on her Twitter and was endorsing Bitcoin.
Well, you know, when you look at this and the origins of this and you compare it to the beginning and the origin of the income tax and the rates that were there, that was like, I think, a 1% tax. And you had to be like a, you know, I forget the level, but it was, you know, like a multi-billionaire today. She's starting out at something that's even higher than that to begin with. And we all know that it's going to migrate, as the income tax did, to the middle class. But they're starting out with a 2% tax on anybody that's got a net worth between 50 million and a billion. If you're over a billion, it goes to 3%. And they put this in and they sell it to people based on people's envy. It's like, oh yeah, why? Well, I'm nowhere close to 50 million. So those people should pay their fair share and so forth and so on. Knowing that these people have an army of accountants and they're not going to pay any taxes, no matter what Elizabeth Warren does. They're going to find some way out of it, or they'll buy some politicians to put a couple of loopholes in specifically, and they'll jump through those loopholes. But the thing that concerns me just doesn't have any attention anymore from the Republicans is this army of IRS agents and the fact they're going to make this thing not even five times bigger. You know, you had Kevin McCarthy say, well, let's not make it nine times bigger. Let's only make it five times bigger, whatever. I'm sorry, seven times bigger. Let's make it five times bigger. And now you got Johnson, who's back up to making it as big as Biden and Pelosi wanted it in the first place, up to seven times bigger. Nobody is talking about that. And that, along with their continual push to say that they want to, that one of their key duties is to have CBDC. That's the stuff that really concerns me, this digitization. And so, you know, we've talked about the value and the imploding value, I think the value of the dollar that will implode. But the thing that concerns me even more than that is having something that is going to be private, that's going to be physical, as Catherine Austin Fitz points out, having financial, private financial transactions. And that's the thing that makes me want to get out of digital and get into physical. That's the key thing that I'm looking for. JP Morgan, Visa, joining MasterCard and so many others talking about how they're going to do biometric scanning, facial recognition, contactless payment. They want to start with grocery stores. They want to start with entertainment venues. That's what they focused on, those two. And I thought, yeah, bread and circuses. That's really where they want to get everybody. You're going to have a digital currency and biometric ID in order to get bread or circuses. They want to use those choke points on people.
Well, the only thing new under the sun is the history you don't know.
That's right.
To quote Harry Truman, and, you know, thinking about Shakespeare, when troubles come, they don't come in single spies, but in battalions. These are all these things that are coming down. The CBDC.
Yeah.
Again,
IRS.
87,000 IRS. What's that?
Battalions of IRS. Yeah.
But battalions are the 87,000 IRS agents. The new regulations. They're getting having to use your biometrics, and again, this is they're creating a trap for all of us. Anybody who remembers what it was like to live in and what a semblance, at least I consciously accepted it as a free country I don't know what I'm in anymore. I'm in some sort of economy sector of the New World Order. That's what I feel like.
Yeah.
No longer in what I feel like was, you know, my beloved republic that I love so much.
Yes.
And I think this is what we're having to endure. It's multi-pronged, but at the same time, again, we're not trying to fix that old system. We're just building new ones. That's the, you know, our Buckminster Fuller talked about that. And he's long since died in the early 80s, but he was a futurist and a genius. And he talked about having, you know, when you see something, the old system, don't try to go yell at it or try to prop it back up or whatever, or fix it from the inside. Just build a new thing. And I think there's a lot of innovation. There's good things going on at the same time, but we need to be aware of the problems. Like we definitely, you and I talk about them every week. We definitely know they're coming. And we were way ahead of even mainstream, or even, you know, you have conservatives now. I'm going to do conservatives. You have people talking about CBDC, but I don't think they fully grasp where it's coming from. You know, both major candidates in the race going into 2024, we know their history with CBDC, whether it's Trump with Jared Kushner or Biden. And again, they have the same donors. They have the same plans. It may come in different forms, but CBDC is coming. So I think just knowing that. You talk about being outside of the system, whether it's, you know, physical gold and silver, you know, having that in your hand, you know, having an ability to access physical metals. Like, you know, David, if you and I want to do, if I want to buy a tractor from you, and I, you know, I go down to Tennessee and I want to buy a tractor from you or whatever, and I give you a few gold coins, where's the bank in that? Where's the, who knows about, you and I know, and I've got value for value, and we walk away.
That's right.
And that's a major fear to the powers that be. That's why they want to kill cash.
That's right.
It's, you know, there's a war on cash. I promise you that.
The physical thing is the key.
Physical thing.
Physical and anonymous. That's really the key. And that's a very, very important thing to prepare for. Absolutely. Talk a little bit about the IRAs. You said that you had somebody ask you a question about how to do a metal IRA.
Yeah, one of your listeners called me yesterday and just said, you know, it would be great if you and Dave would take just a few minutes to explain that. He goes, there's probably hundreds of people like me that want to know, because you mention it, but you don't ever explain how it works. Well, and I appreciate the question. I've been doing these when I first set up my shop. I wanted to be a little smaller. Shops generally don't offer IRAs. That's usually your big 1-800 number places. And, you know, they do a lot of the bigger transactions. So I decided I'll get into this. I'll dip my toes to figure out how to do it. And we did. We have a company that we partnered with through the trading floor in Dallas called New Direction Trust. So they handle all the legal, you know, set up your IRA, all the paperwork, all the docs, make sure everything's great. Once you set that, it's $50. You go to New Direction Trust website, you set up an account, you know, deposit $50 in there, and then you've got a precious metals IRA. If you have an existing IRA or a 401k, you can, without penalty, roll that in, all those funds that are sitting in the fiat market, because that's what it is. And if you're in paper or you're in 401ks, IRAs, it's fiat market. Whenever you want to put those funds, you can roll it. Again, no penalty. New Direction Trust helps you roll over those funds into the precious metals IRA. Once it's in there, you can contact us and we'll buy you physical precious metals, not a piece of paper. It's your metals. I mean, you pick. If you want Canadian maple leaves, those are your Canadian maple leaves. You know, if you're American Eagles, it's your American Eagles, and you own those. They have to go into a third party vault. Again, not in the bank. It has nothing to do. It's not inside. The cool thing about the precious metals IRAs and why I endorse them is because at least it's a first step removed. There's no bank. Mm-hmm. There's no bank. It's not under that regulation. So those are going to go into third-party storage vaults. I use Dallas. And that's just me personally, but there's all over the United States. They've got them in Nevada, the Idaho. They've got them in Delaware. So they're all over the place. I think there's 10 major vaults you can choose from. Storage is about $180 a year. So if you've got, you know, fiat funds in the market and you're interested, it's a very easy process. You can go to davidknight.gold. You can contact us. I can show you how. It's just literally a new direction. Once you open an account with them, they will help you get any existing funds over there. And we get the process done in a couple of weeks. And then you've got metal stored, you know, you'll start to see. And I had a lady that approached me when I was in Acapulco. She said, will you please take a look at my precious metals IRA? And I spent some time with her And I had to tell her, unfortunately, you used a dealer that oversold you in some numismatic stuff. Even that happens in IRAs. They just overcharged her. So you got to be careful with those, because a lot of these 1-800 numbers, they're going to put you in some collectibles, and even though you've got the metals, but what you got to look at is your melt value. So if you let's say you gave me $10,000, and I'm going to have to, there's premiums on physical metals, whether I like it or not. I can't buy things at spot. So there's going to be some premium there, but your melt value is going to be, how many ounces to spot that you have. And I try to make that number as large as possible, because I don't want people to say, well, I got ripped off. And this lady, unfortunately, it's like more than 50% of her deposit was put into numismatic blue sky, ethereal cost. When really what you're looking for is the melt, because that's your absolute rock bottom. Mm-hmm. So we try to do that at Wise Wolf. I'm very, very cognizant of people have worked very hard to save up what they have in these fiat markets. You'll take a little bit of a hit because it won't be dollar for dollar. Mm-hmm. But you're still going to have gold, physical silver, even physical platinum or things if you want to do that in a tax-free shelter, which is really what it is, and it's outside of the banking system.
That's great. So you just basically, once you set up the new Dimension account, and then you tell your current IRA to roll this stuff over to them, once they get it, they contact you, and you contact the user and find out what kind of mix you want to put into your metal IRA. So it's a pretty simple
process. The first thing I do if I'm talking to somebody, whether it's the IRA or anything else, David, I don't know if anybody else, I pull up my competition and I say, this is what the competition's charging for X, Y, and Z. And this is what I can do. So we generally try to save you a bit, at least be transparent enough so you know what you're buying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great.
But yeah, it's an easy process. Once you have it in there, we can get your metals in there in a few days.
That's great. Let's talk about one more thing before I let you go. If you got the time, your network that you're setting up, tell people a little bit about that, where that is. And we're going to be there eventually.
Well, yeah, we've got Jason Barker is an ambassador for us now, and Melissa's been helping. We've got freeworld.fm is the network. Billy Ray Valentine and myself have been working on that for about a year and a half, and or maybe 2 years now. Time flies when you're in the apocalypse. So we definitely we talked a lot about having a lifeboat for free speech.
Yeah.
Something that's, I'm building the infrastructure so we can eventually have our own servers and other things like that, have our own app. And it's audio only, but it's freeworld.fm. It's a 24-hour station. We have some great hosts over there like Jason Barker, Angry Tiger. A Guard is up and running. I do my show there and many, many others. You have a slot there we want to bring you over. We just need to get your software hooked up, and that's pretty much the last step. And of course you and I can talk off air too, because I have some other ideas I want to run past you, but it's for the people. We got a chat there. I think it's pretty pretty active on the freeworld.fm website. So yeah,
we're looking forward to being there. I want to be there because, again, as you said, we're going to have a lifeboat for free speech. It's getting rapidly worse, very, very rapidly worse. People getting now jail sentences for speech that the government hates. They're ready to really crack this thing down. I think we're going to see that after this next election. They may even do it before, in the name of making the election more honest. They may shut down speech, because we want to have an honest election. You certainly don't want to have a debate, right? We'll be there, and we'll get this together, it's taking us a while to get this stuff together, but we want to do that, and we'll be there at freeworld.fm. Good to know that you're putting that up, and thank you so much, Tony, for supporting us with davidknight.gold. We really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.